This is Betty Trunell speaking for the Decatur Public Library. We're continuing our oral history of Millikan University with our guest today, Professor Glenn R. Smith, Professor Emeritus of Business Administration. Professor Smith, I believe you came to Millikan in 1946. What had you been doing before then?
Before that, I had taught in high school and in junior college in the state of Kansas for 10 years preceding that. And I came to Millikan actually in the fall of 1946. Mm-hmm. And we moved here right after the war in the summer of 1946.
Well, we might go back just a little bit. Was Kansas your home state?
Well, I was born in Kansas City, Missouri, but we moved around quite a bit. I started in public schools in Kansas City, and my grandfather had a lot of ranches around. He'd been a pioneer, and my father took us to Oklahoma, where I stayed until I was in the fifth grade down amongst the Cherokee Indians in Mays County. Mm-hmm. And then we moved to Kansas, and I stayed in school there until I graduated from high school and a year of college.
And then you came to Millikan in 1946, right after the First World War. That must have been an exciting time.
The veterans were just flocking back, uh-huh. And we had almost 1,600 enrolled in Millikan, which had been down to, I don't know, but probably 500 or 600. It was exciting. The classes were huge, and those veterans lined up the whole length of that lower hall to get to the bookstore.
I suppose they were especially interested in business administration,
we
too.
It really boomed, yes. We had lots of them.
And that was, of course, your department when you came here. What were your responsibilities in the department?
I was just an assistant professor, and I taught principles of economics and money and banking, business finance, and courses like that. I was a full-time teacher.
Mm-hmm. And then you worked your way gradually through the department?
No, I guess you'd say
and
that.
I believe you were at one time dean, weren't you?
Yes, when the School of Business and Industrial Management was started,
first came, it wasn't a separate school.
Oh, no. That must have been around 1950 or so. Mm-hmm. Dean C.L. Miller, who was the dean of the college, called me in and said that the board had set up that new school of business instead of just a department, mm-hmm. and that I'd be the first dean. And
well, that was
of course,
an honor.
I accepted.
That was great.
Before that, I had become chairman of the Department of mm-hmm. Business.
Well, now, in addition to your duties of teaching principles of economics and other business courses and administering the department as dean, I believe you had some outside activities too, didn't you?
Well, it seemed like.
What were some of those?
Along around 1950, the head of the department, Dr. Charles Lease, left, I became director of business placement, having charge of the placement of our graduates as they met with the people who were coming around to interview mm-hmm. and recruiting for companies. And it grew like everything else, and eventually we were getting over 100 companies visiting the campus, and quite a bit more than that eventually, mm-hmm. and sometimes, I don't know, we'd be in contact with maybe 200 or 300 more for maybe 60 graduates.
Mm-hmm. Were these interviews generally successful? Did the students get good placements?
We did very well. The salaries grew every year, and the our graduates grew. Now, we took care of people who were not necessarily business graduates, and then we got into part-time placement, mm-hmm. summer placement uh-huh. with companies like Mueller's yeah. and Staley's and this mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Yes, I know that you had quite an honor when you retired. I have a book here that shows many of your former students and graduates and people that you have placed wrote letters of appreciation for what they have had, the experience they've had with you, and professors too, for example. Here is one from Dr. Plungis, I believe.
Yes.
Expressing his appreciation for working with you. And
Ed Plungis was a full-time teacher in mathematics, but when the veterans came back, he was veterans counselor and had to check to see mm-hmm. that they got their paycheck and that they mm-hmm. earned it, and he taught also. In fact, he's one of the best teachers I've ever known.
Well, great.
And I have never known a student who didn't think he was an outstanding teacher.
Well, great.
May I tell you a little
incident?
All right,
please.
We eventually got our business placement up to the place where we had three little offices called interview rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we'd have as many as three of them going. We'd make appointments every 30 yeah. minutes, and this interviewer would have these people mm-hmm. sent in. My secretary would introduce them, and he'd have the placement forms with their picture on them that we set up
yeah.
and made about 100 of them. And his classroom was fairly close, and Ed speak so everybody could hear him. Well, these little interview rooms just went up to about 3 feet from the ceiling,
mm-hmm.
so they weren't real private.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember one time his class ended, and he hauled out some student, had him by the elbow, of dragging him in there, and he says, "Smith, I want to use one of your interview rooms. This fellow thinks he's going to flunk my course, and he's not going to do it." And he hauled him in there and kept him a whole hour until he had another class, and came out, and he said, "Now you work those problems, and you work them yourself. Don't have some fraternity brother do it," or something like that. "You work them, you bring them in, and I'll check them and give you some more." He says, "All you've got to do is work. This business about math not being your subject is not so." He said, "Now you do like I tell you, you understand?"
And the boy passed the course?
Well, sure he did.
He didn't have a choice.
Straightened out, stayed in school.
Well, great.
Well, that's the way Ed was.
Right.
I'd like for you to talk
well,
to him.
Well, I'll be glad to meet him. Now, the other letter, this is a whole book full of letters. We don't have time to go over all of them. But here's one from the president of the First National Bank of Decatur. And you said he wasn't even a business major.
No, but I did have John, that's John Luttrell. I had him in at least two classes, I think,
mm-hmm.
maybe more.
Yes.
I don't remember as well as I should.
And
John was an excellent athlete, 4 letters in basketball, mm-hmm. 4 letters in track, outstanding, and an excellent student. And he walked by one day, and Illinois Bell Telephone was interviewing, and he sort of looked at the pink slip on the bulletin board for the students to sign up for 30-minute interviews, and I said, "John, you're just the kind of a man they want. Just get your name on there." Well, he said, "I'm not business. Make any difference. You could do this kind of work." And they interviewed him and hired him, and he worked up rather rapidly. In fact, he was manager at a couple of places, I believe, and then he was manager of the local office here. And then eventually, we talked about it before he took it, but he went down to the First National and has been very successful.
Well, that's a great story. Mm-hmm. Well, you have this whole book full of people from various companies like Caterpillar and Firestone and
Staley Company,
right,
Mueller
IBM
Company,
and so on. So we really don't, it would take us all day to through this whole book.
I'm real proud
of
that.
You should be. I think that's really an honor. And another honor you had is the dedication of the yearbook to you in 1966.
That was 66,
yes.
And a big surprise.
Well, that was a really great surprise, a real
Dr.
honor.
Dr. Paul McKay was president at that time.
Oh, great. Well, what other professors or administrators do you specially recall? You mentioned a few.
Well, when I became dean of the School of Business and Industrial Management, they called it, included engineering. When I became dean of that, I got acquainted with a fellow that was dean of the College of Liberal Arts, Dr. Clyde Dennis. And I had known him before, but he was another outstanding teacher and administrator, and one of my very best friends. Dennis and Plunges, and another outstanding man was the chairman of the history department, Daniel Gage. And I would say these three men, well, there's some more. Bill Williams, Dr. Williams is chairman of the engineering department, has been for several years. He's an excellent teacher. And I'd like to, I have kind of used those men sort of as models.
Oh, great.
And the veterans, this filters back. The veterans and the alumni, when the people are out visiting them, helping raise money, they tell me that they ask about Dennis and Plunges and Gage.
Well, great.
And sometimes they tell me that they also ask
sure
about Old
do.
Man Smith.
Well, that's great.
But I think we had one thing in common. Most of the students thought we were awfully tough teachers, but
they didn't hold it against you.
They were complimentary about it.
They really appreciated the fact that you made them work.
There's one boy in there, in his letter, says, "You won't remember this, but when I took my final examination in that money and banking course, I thought I'd work on you, and I stood up and told you that I knew every question you were going to ask." And he said, "You were real kind and gave me an 85 on that final." And he said, "I was proud of it," and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Well, great. Which,
but no, students were, they were awfully good to me.
Well,
but,
great.
But Plunges and Gage and Dennis, Bill Williams
made a good
there's
faculty.
Some more people there.
Well, I'm sure.
There are lots of them.
Right. Well, you've already mentioned one change in your in the business administration, and that it was a change from a department to a school. What were some other changes that took place?
Oh.
Did they change the courses a lot during the time you were there?
Yes, we. I guess.
Do you find that
10 or 12 years ago, we had a self-study, and we went to this present system of a four-hour week. When I came here, the courses were met three times a week and two times a week. When I came in, I had some three-hour courses and a two-hour course or two. and I think I averaged in a class 65 students for those veterans. Oh. 65,
those are big classes.
I think my big one was 90 something.
Oh.
And we didn't know any better. We just bought
you
it.
You tapped them.
Uh-huh. But I'd like to say something before it slips my mind.
Go on.
These big classes with those veterans, and they had a thing that the Veterans Administration office gave them. They got all their supplies plus some money, and they had a thing, we called it a grocery book, in with two carbons in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the first day of class, you'd put on the board and tell them the textbook, the author, the edition, and what they'd need. And they'd fill it out, and then at the end of class, whether you had 90 or 45, you had to sign each one.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd take them down to the bookstore. They'd line up the length of that lower hall sometime, and they'd go in and get their supplies, pencil, paper, textbook,
those
notebook.
Would be furnished free.
Those were furnished. And then they'd go up to Ed Plunges' office, and Mr. Plunges had to sign each one. Then he'd tear them out, and one went to the government, mm-hmm. one went in his files, and I forget, mm-hmm. maybe the student kept the other one. I can't remember.
Well, there were many people educated in that way that would never have had a college degree otherwise.
And what I started to tell you, the experience, and it took a while to get all of them through, but from 46 to, well, some of them went for a long time. What I mean, they didn't start until mm-hmm. later. But from that big boom from 46 to about 50-something, that was one of the best experiences I ever mm-hmm. had in my life.
Well, great.
These people were, there were all kinds of them. Mm-hmm. Some of them drank too much, and some of them were lazy. But they'd pretty well dropped by the wayside. And a great many of them said that they caught on and stayed in school.
Mm-hmm.
They thanked Mr. Plunges. They thanked Dan Gaves and me and Dean mm-hmm. Dennis and people like that. Many times you'd forget, not even remember it, and they'd say, remember so-and-so, you kept me in school, or he kept me in school. He wouldn't let me quit when I was going to give up. And these people have really made good. It's amazing how many of them are vice mm-hmm. presidents of companies yeah. such as, let me be careful now, American Can,
yeah.
Way
well,
High.
Well, that's really a tribute.
With telephone company,
right.
with General Motors,
well, great.
With companies like that, mm-hmm. way up there.
Okay. Now, did you notice a change after the veterans bill had run out?
Well, yes, it had changed. We had gone, when we had that self-study, we went to a 4-day week. Instead of 3-hour courses Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and 2-hour courses
the other 2 days,
mm-hmm. Tuesday and Thursday, or Thursday and Saturday
mm-hmm.
in the mornings,
yeah.
Then we had 4-hour courses, basically,
mm-hmm.
and we'd meet Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday was a meeting day and an open day
mm-hmm.
and a few science lab courses. And then Thursday and Friday, mm-hmm. no Saturday classes. And basically, the courses changed to 4-hour courses and a few 2-hour courses.
Mm-hmm.
And that changed the whole setup.
Mm-hmm.
There were a few classes that met on Wednesdays, but not very
mm-hmm.
many.
Well, did the content of the courses change a lot? For example, has technology, machines and so on.
You have to keep up
mm-hmm.
with new textbooks. maybe more than we need to, but they, I've had textbooks that went through 5 or 6 editions in the time I was there.
How about business machines? Has that made a big difference?
Yes, when I came, we had these old multiplying machines and adding machines, the Monroe calculator, which didn't plug in and you turned a crank and sat it over. The machines. And the same thing now in our engineering department, where Dr. Williams is chairman now. The courses changed a lot and became, well, much more scientific, much more.
As technology came in.
Now, we'd still have a foundry course, we'd still have a mechanics course, but they changed. A thing I want to get in before I can forget it, our business courses, especially our accounting, which has always been strong, and our engineering courses, industrial engineering and welding engineering, our graduates have been very much in demand. And I'm proud of our standards. We kept standards up, and our recruiters told us that, and that was part of the reason we could place people. But those people that ran those departments, and the people in accounting and the people in the engineering and the industry, when I came here, it was just an industry course. Kind of a glorified manual training and a little better. But these engineering, and we first called them engineering administration, which was engineering and a business combination. But those courses, it was a pleasure to place those people.
Well,
they've done very well.
Now, I believe you had outside activities, too. For example, didn't you advise fraternities and sororities regarding their finances?
People like Byron Kearns and Smith and some of us, Dennis, it seemed like, I guess they had to have an advisor. And I guess because we were willing to chaperone dances and so forth, some of us, I think, always had a different one, and they'd shift them around. When I came here, there were 4 social sororities and 3 fraternities at that time. I think there are 5 now. Anyway, I think I was advisor at least 1 year for every one of those. I'm sure that Byron Kearns was, too. He was very busy. And then I was advisor for outfits like Alpha Kappa Psi, the business fraternity that we set up here, things like that.
Did you
know that helped you get acquainted with people. And
you got to know the students.
Yeah.
Did you notice any big difference in the students during that time in the student life?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to go over the old yearbooks and see. Yes, they weren't nearly as vocal as they are now. And they were much more careful. Now, it wasn't until I'd been there a long time that some fraternity at the Christmas party gave me a bottle of liniment, and when I unwrapped it, it was a fifth of scotch. But that was, they wouldn't have done that back then.
They wouldn't have dared.
Oh, my goodness,
years.
No.
Well, you also were a representative in athletics, too, weren't you? Faculty representative?
Dean C.L. Miller, when they set up the CCIW, which is the, takes in 2 Wisconsin schools and the rest Illinois schooled. When he, I don't know whether he, I don't think he was ready to retire, but he put me on this job of being faculty athletic representative.
What did you do?
Well, In the first place, you had to go to a meeting in the spring and in the fall, which would rotate with different colleges in the conference. And you had to be prepared to answer questions about the aid regulation, how much aid you could give a student. Now, Milliken has always been, well, the other schools in our conference, by our rules, are much purer than the big schools. For instance, for years we've had a deal that you can't give a student over $100 a year unless it is for unless it is for the need. They have to fill out a thing, need, and it goes in, and they check it by computer and everything to get that. Now, this John Luttrell, who was a wonderful athlete, didn't have the need. Never got over $100 if he got that.
But he might have if he'd been in a big university.
Oh, he'd had boardroom tuition.
Automobile?
Probably. Lots of them would get a free automobile. Yeah. And then some of them get, the standard is boardroom, tuition, a job.
You mean at the big schools?
Uh-huh. And then many of them get allowance for laundry and all that
stuff. But fortunately, you didn't have that.
No, we were much purer. Well, but you had to be careful.
You had to watch.
You had to watch. Mm-hmm. And then part of the time, I had this job for 18 years.
Have enjoyed it.
I did. Mm-hmm. I was president 1 year,
great.
I got to know the athletic directors. Now, another man that I became very close to is Ralph Allen, who was athletic director and basketball coach. Mm-hmm. And Jack Hornberger up at Wesleyan.
Oh.
And some of these people.
Well, very good.
The athletic directors, the coaches, and the other faculty reps.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the eligibility committee years where they'd call in and look, this boy Smith's gotten hurt. Now, he just played 2 games. Can he have another semester of eligibility?
Mm-hmm.
And some of these people, you had to kind of hang in there with them because they'd try anything. Some of them would try anything and others wouldn't.
Uh-huh.
But you met lots of nice people.
So it was another way of getting to know the students and the university life outside of the classroom.
Yeah.
Well, you had quite a number of honors as represented here in your study. I saw some of the trophies and some of the plaques and so on that have been given to you. What were some of those?
Oh, I went to a meeting. We placed a lot of boys with General Motors Central Foundry, part of the General Motors Corporation. Mm-hmm. They have a big plant over at Danville, Illinois. And for some reason, they had me over there one time. I must have been awfully gullible because I didn't have, just like that yearbook dedication, I had no idea of this. And after the banquet, they gave me that little cup and said, thanks a bunch for helping us get these good students. Well, they paid well. In fact, one of our accounting boys became general manager of the General Motors Central Foundry over there for some.
And so he was sending people to interview your students.
Uh-huh.
Well, very good.
But that was kind of fun. And then when I retired after 18 years as the faculty athletic rep at Milliken, at the last meeting I attended, I don't know, it seemed to me like they gave me a blanket or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've had a lot of blankets from fraternities and sororities, and I think they gave us one. But as I recall, they thought that being consecutive there for 18 years that I deserve some kind of recognition.
Well, that
I'm
is
not
quite
sure
a record.
Why.
That's very,
I guess they
very
thought they didn't kick me out over that period of time.
Well, that's...
And then 1966, they surprised me by dedicating the yearbook to me, which
so you've had
was
some
a kind of
very
a surprise.
Great honors.
And this banquet that they had and invited people back. This was in 1972, after I'd been here 26 years, 2 years before I retired. That was kind of a nice thing. You like to be bragged on. That was down at the Decatur Club and had a big crowd.
Well, what activities are you following now that you've retired?
I still like, I watch TV and listen to radio on the Millikan
station
battles. I watch Big Ten and things mm-hmm. like that, but I watch Millikan, and we read the Millikan paper and keep mm-hmm. up with them.
So you do keep in touch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, I didn't realize it when I came here. I thought, well, I'll stay a year or two and try something else. But as I get older, I think back about things. I mm-hmm. think about the influence my parents had mm-hmm. on me that I didn't realize and things like that. But it surprises me the type of students we had at Millikan. We didn't grade as high as some others in the conference, but it surprises me how many people we had, athletes, non-athletes, mm-hmm. accountants, engineers, marketing majors, mm-hmm. all these people, how, well, our economics department, that was my first step up to be chairman of the economics mm-hmm. department before it was the business department, mm-hmm. before I got to that. But it surprises me how many people who were, you know, on our books, C or C plus people, how well they've turned mm-hmm. out.
So
and
great.
These A people, some of them, you just wouldn't hardly believe it. Now, 2 years ago, this spring, I went back to the banquet that they have, the alumni banquet in the spring. And I especially went, it was right after I had my last operation, but I especially went, they were real nice to me and had a place for us to park mm-hmm. and all. And I ate at a table, my wife and I did, at a table at the banquet there in the University Center with two of my former students had done well, but about eight people that night, and I knew every one of them, mm-hmm. got an award, an alumni award, alumni
well,
merit award, and so forth. Mm-hmm. And it amazed me how
they weren't always the top students.
Well, no, but some of them were.
Uh-huh. Some
now,
were.
Some of these students, I would say a couple of them, their buddies say they're millionaires. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know. They mm-hmm. didn't tell me this. Uh-huh. Never mentioned it. But one of my boys, you call him my boy, we helped place him. He's in a neighboring state, not adjoining, and I got word from pretty straight that he's now making around a little better than $50,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't been gone, oh, I don't know, maybe 12 years.
Well, it is amazing.
But uh-huh. he was a good boy.
But very good. Well, what do you see for the future of Millikan? Do you see any changes
now,
in the future?
President Miller, I mentioned Clyde Dennis, Dean of Arts and Sciences. Roger was here and became Dean of the School of Music. And he the three of us, when I was Dean of the School of Business and Industrial Management, would meet once a week, and then we'd have special meetings to see which students to drop and which one should be given another chance, which was an all-day deal. But these people, well, I've lost my train of thought.
Well, you were going to talk about the future of Milliken.
Oh, Roger Miller,
the president,
was
now
a crackerjack. Mm-hmm. And I got very much attached to Roger because he was sort of my type. He wasn't real formal, and I understand his office is always open and people can talk to him, and he calls a spade and sometimes something else. But those kind of people, I guess I like them because they work hard, like Dennis.
And you think the university is in good hands?
I think it's in good hands. In fact, I was surprised that they've stayed in the black as long as they have. Well, somebody's done some work.
That's right, for a private liberal arts or private school.
And as high as that tuition and everything, it's tough.
Right.
But they oh, I suppose they have some weak ones there. I don't know too much. I don't get over there very much. But they still have some strong ones, too.
You think the university is still in
a good
course?
I think they're in good hands.
Well, very good.
I think Roger Miller, he and I don't agree on everything, but I think that he runs a pretty good shop.
Well, very good.
An excellent shop,
well,
in fact.
Well, excellent. Well,
now they've added things. They have their School of Nursing now, since I was there, and
they have some new buildings too.
Oh, lots of new buildings.
Beautiful library and a new student center.
They're on their second university center. The one we had, we called the sub back there. It was an old army barracks. When coffee was a nickel a cup.
Yeah. And that's a far cry from the building
from the
they
way
have
they
now.
Are now. Oh, yeah.
Great.
No, the new library, several dormitories, new gymnasium, the new fine arts center.
Well, that's been a real thrill to see the university grow that way.
Let's see. I would say there must be 4 or 5 new dormitories.
Fine. And you think the university is going to continue in good course?
Well, today it's dangerous to predict very long.
Right, it is.
But they've done real well.
Well, that's great.
The change since 46 surprises me. It's, in fact, these students now, of course, they wouldn't want to be bored, but they wouldn't believe some of the things. I came to Milliken in 46 at a raise from out in Kansas at a junior college, and I think I got assistant professor rank and $3,000.
Well,
and I was real pleased.
Right.
And $3,000 now, a substitute teacher would
you'd
make
be in the poverty
more.
Level.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Professor Smith, it's been a real pleasure to have you share your experiences with us, and we thank you very much. It looks as if you really have had a great life and that you are enjoying your retirement.
Well, I don't want to go back and start again. I'm not in shape to do that. But I will say the 28 years that I was at Milliken, my wife and I both enjoyed it a great deal. We chaperoned parties and dances. We had, when I was placement director, we'd have teas when we started the placement season, and these men and their wives, if they had them, would come, and we'd have to stagger them in order to get
everybody
60 or 80 people in the house on a Sunday afternoon. But it was fun.
Well, great.
I got one. Have you got
all
time?
Right,
can I tell you one?
Yes, right.
We lived over on North Street, which is gone now. The football field overlaps where we live, and I could walk across to the, to Milliken. But they have this Milliken tea at right before Christmas, and everybody bakes cookies. And my wife used to bake, oh, 6 or 8 dozen cookies before that tea, and then the morning they'd have it, well, I'd carry it over there like all the other faculty. One night it was snowing in early part of December, about the middle maybe, and we were over at North Street, and my wife had all these cookies out in big plates, but she was going to package them in boxes in the morning, and I'd take them over for that tea. And the students really load up on them. They still do. Mm-hmm. That's one thing Roger has insisted they keep. That's President Miller. And she was upstairs washing her hair or something, and I was sitting down there. And all of a sudden, I heard a carol. And it was one of the sororities, Zeta Tau Alpha. They were out caroling. Mm-hmm. So for some reason, I suspect because we were close to the campus and handy, they, a whole bunch of them were out on our front porch stomping in the snow and caroling. Well, it was cold, so I went to the door and, oh, girls, my goodness, you're good, and gave them all that stuff, you know. And I said, you better come in. Well, they tracked in snow, and they were carrying candles, and they come in with their candles dripping wax on the carpet and got them all in there. And I thought, well, I said, would you like some cookies? And I yelled upstairs at Christine. Well, she...
What could she say?
She didn't say anything because she said her hair, she couldn't come down right then. So I said, well, I'm going to give them some cookies. And I went in, got a couple of plates and brought them out. Gee, I don't know how many. They just filled the house. And those cookies, they just didn't last long. Well, the next morning, I think about 8 dozen cookies were gone. Now, I may be promoting those girls, but there weren't any left. So we got up real early and made more cookies to replace what those Zetas had eaten. But she didn't complain. No. My wife didn't complain. Well, she supported me and helped me a great deal over those years.
Well, that's great.
And part of the time she was substitute teaching in the public school, so it wasn't easy to chaperone a dance Friday night, another one Saturday night.
But it sounds as if the two of you had a great
life. We had lots of fun.
Well,
now, I'm sure lots of people didn't enjoy it like that, but we did.
Well, that's good. Well, thank you again for sharing your reminiscences.
Well, I get lonesome, and I like to rattle.
Right.
But those 28 years at Milliken were a very pleasurable deal.
Oh, great.
And I got a raise every year.
Oh, wonderful. That puts the icing on the cake.
That helps a little, yeah.
You have been listening to the reminiscences of Professor Glenn R. Smith, Professor Emeritus of Business Administration of Milliken University. This is Betty Turnell for the Decatur Public Library.